encouraged the points as we moved along it. They would bruise me. I knew, but I felt fit. Almost reckless. The grillwork matched that on the second-story balconies. Quaint. The street was crowded with all manner of tourists. Gawkers, most of them. I inclined my head as we passed the gate guards. One nodded slightly, glanced at my briefcase. The other followed Kali with his eyes. Even the billowing sari could not hide the hard contours of her body. "After we turn the corner," she asked. "If the crowd thins." When we turned the corner, the crowd melted away as though scattered by a stage manager. Kali bunched up her sari and was over the ironwork in seconds, into the palm fronds and banana trees. I was more careful. I passed the briefcase through the bars, then worked my way over. We stood together in the dripping trees, looking at the floodlit face of the mansion, solid stonework, like an outbuilding of Versailles. Kali's hand dropped my distended zipper. She lightly squeezed me, a nurse checking a pulse. I shivered. We must wait. A short intake of breath. How long? I crouched in the tenebrous foliage, booted up the computer, and logged back onto Eros. She's still at her computer. She's searching for me. Then let her find you. I shut off the computer and put it back into the case. "The rightmost upper window," I said, recalling the photocopied blueprints that the archives so dutifully sent me. "Now." Crossing the open ground between fence and mansion was daunting for me. For Kali, nothing. She believes we are invisible in such moments, less than shadows. We are our intent. I opened my briefcase beneath the side balcony. Kali took out the rope and hurled the rubberized hook over the ironwork of the balcony rail. She climbs like a thief. I tossed up the briefcase. A rape kit, police would call it. But it is so much more. I came prepared for resistance, but the French doors on the balcony were open. So often it happens that way. Evil is an invited guest. Kali pulled the rope up after us. We moved up the hallway together. Thick carpeting. Conditioned air whispering out of the ceiling. Somewhere the regular groan of a ceiling fan slowly turning. I followed the groan. It led us to the master bedroom. Kali took up her post beside the door. I see it again and again, fate unraveling into chaos. I open the door as softly as possible. The patient is seated before her computer, her back to me. She wears a long, flowing garment, like something from one of her early novels. "You should tape a penny to one of the blades to stop that noise," I want to say, but I don't. Instead I say, "I have come, Karen." The chair tips onto the carpet as she bounds out of it in voiceless terror, her eyes mostly white behind her glasses. She is heavier than her publicity pictures. The eyes dart to my exposed hand, searching for a knife or a gun, but it is empty. "How did you get in?" she whispers. I do not dignify this.
Who are you?"
"Prometheus." Her eyes widen beyond the point I believe possible.
"But I was just..."
She looks back at her computer.
"How?"
"It is not important. I have come for you at last, to give you what you most desire." She stares, her brain obviously thrumming behind the glassy eyes.
"How? Do you have a car for us?" she asks finally.
"I thought you might call for one of yours."
"Yes," she says much too quickly. "If you'll just let me get some things."
"No." She freezes near her bedside table. Her eyes dart downward, then back to my face.